One of the things I am intending to do is actually at the end of all the attributes that I believe an ambassador should have, I want to compile them all into a workbook so that every new believer that comes and joins the church will actually have this training session whereby he'll go through all the attributes of an ambassador. Okay, but if you look at it, it's plainly just principles of the scriptures that every one of us need to have. Okay, so in line with, I'm just thankful that probably it's God. You know, sometimes when I teach, for me, when I teach, I tend to go quite long, but at least we're starting off the year right with a discipling church, okay? Because our goal, by God's grace, this year, we will actually embark on the discipleship groups, all right? It's not just a shepherd group, it's not just a cell group, it's actually a discipleship group, but we focus on, by God's grace, helping everyone be a disciple of Christ, okay? Some of the information here, I actually touched on in the church camp, but taking a slightly different slant, we're just going to be covering this part one and part two. All right, if you see your notes, does everyone have? Okay. Okay, part one and part two. Okay, part one is I'll go through an introduction, and then is a Christian a disciple? What is a disciple? And what are the characteristics of a disciple? Then next week, we'll talk about what all the disciples will be doing, and the entire thing will be based on Acts chapter 2. And then after that, where should a disciple be taught? And what is ambassador's direction in application of the discipleship principles that we find in the Bible, okay? And one of the things, by God's grace, we will do is we need to practicalize everything we learn, all right? Whether you're a young Christian, whether you're just primary six, going sec one, and all the way to the oldest, want us to actually have the heart. Say, Lord, I'm not just going to study your word. I'm going to take your word, and I'm going to ask a question. So, Lord, how do I practice this? How do I do it in my life, okay? And when we apply God's word in our life, then God can change us into what he wants us to be, okay? So by way of introduction, actually I touched on the introduction already. Okay, is a Christian a disciple? We're going to start there because I just relayed an incident one time. Does that make sense first? You understand what I'm talking about? Am I talking too fast? No? Okay. There was one time when we first started Ambassador Baptist Mission, I knocked on the door in Woodlands, okay? Because we just started there in Woodlands, and so we were tracking around the area. And we knocked on, I can't remember which floor now, but I went into this place, I went into this block and knocked on the door. And there was this 15-year-old girl who came out, okay, 15-year-old girl who came out. And she said, my name is Bra Johnny, we are studying a mission and all that kind of thing. So at the end of the conversation, in between the conversation, she revealed that she attends City Harvest, okay, she attends another church at City Harvest. And then I asked her, if you die right now, would you be sure you'd be in heaven? Okay? Her answer was interesting because she says, oh no, I'm just a Christian. I'm not a disciple yet. I've not reached that stage. I've not reached that stage of being a disciple. I'm just a Christian. I'm not a disciple. And then it was my privilege to at least be able to share with her about the fact that when the goal of sharing the gospel is for them to know Christ and so that they can go to heaven. And if you understand that some of their teachings, they believe very much that salvation is a process, okay? Salvation is a process. Because in the NIV, in 1 Corinthians 1, it talks about becoming saved. And so for them, the concept that they have is they have to reach certain areas. Those who are really serious-minded will be brought through classes and all that, and you will find that there's this process that they have to go through to be saved. So when I spoke to this, I more or less understood what she was referring to. I think Brother Cloud went to City Harvest, got some of their stuff, and actually pointed out this, that salvation to them is a process. There's many of the people we know in many churches cannot be confident of their salvation. All right? And so that stuck in my mind because this young lady believed that unless she grows to become a disciple of Christ, then he has no way of knowing whether she's going to heaven. Okay, and obviously she has been baptized and all that kind of thing. But what does the Bible have to say? Modern day thinking is that Christian and the disciple are different. And there are different stages of the Christian life. Would you agree that many Christians think like that? I'm a Christian, I'm not a disciple yet. But what does the Bible has to say? Let's turn to a few verses, okay? Maybe we'll start off with, on the right hand side, Sister Agnes, if you can turn to Acts chapter 1:15. Sister Elizabeth, you can turn to Acts 6:1. You can turn to Acts 6 verse 7. Sister Shaoling, you can turn to Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. All right, it was just those two verses. Let's read loud and clear so that we can hear what the Bible have to say. All right? All right, Acts chapter 1:15. Okay, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Okay, Acts 6:1. Okay, in those days when the number of disciples were multiplied. If you read verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. Okay, Acts 6:7. Acts 9:1. If you read the entire book of Acts and the Gospels, you will find there's only one word for a follower of Christ, someone who have trusted Christ, and the word is disciple. Okay? Where did the word Christian come from? How many of you, where would the word Christian come from? Teenagers. Where did the word Christian come from? Where did the word Christian come from? Sorry? Anyone? Did you know that the word Christian came from the Bible? Let's turn to Acts 11:26, okay? And I want us to really understand this, because don't have the misconception of what the world or your friends would tell you in different churches that will come. But what does the Bible have to say? In Acts 11:26, okay? Let's read it through together so that we have a very clear understanding. Let the word God speak for himself. Okay, let's read together. Acts 11:26. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And the who were called what? And the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. Now, what does that tell you about Christians and disciple? They're the same. They're the same. They are the same. In other words, when you trust Christ, you become a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's so important for us to understand, because many Christians feel that, oh, I'm not ready to be baptized. When you become a Christian, you are a disciple of Christ. It is God's will for you to follow him after you become a Christian. Do you realize that when we trust Christ, it's not we accept Christ, we were obedient to the voice of God. Did you know that? When we became Christians, we become obedient to the faith. Okay, obedient to what God has told us. So when we are saved, the Bible tells us that we are disciples. And you know, when we talk about towards being a discipleship-making church, I think we have lost a lot of ground. If you really think about it, and many of us have the idea, I join a church. A disciple ought to be a church member. Later on, we'll talk about that, okay? But I want us to understand, first of all, everyone in Ambassador Baptist Church, because we are the first generation, if you like, of ambassador, we need to carry the right thinking biblically to the next generation. Our children, the friends we bring, must understand when we trust Christ, we become a disciple. Of course, we cannot force them to follow Christ. But biblically speaking, if we follow the pattern of the New Testament, when you become a Christian, when you trust Christ, you become a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ. Okay. So now, what is a disciple? There are some notes there for you. A disciple, the meaning of disciple... Well, thanks, Brother Tim, for putting that in. Disciple is pronounced, yeah, you can read there. It's a noun, okay? A disciple is a learner, okay? It's a learner, a scholar, one who receives or professes to receive instruction from another, okay? This is taken from Webster's Dictionary, 1828. Okay, if you ever want to know Bible meanings, a good dictionary is not your Collins or your modern-day 1970-80. Go back to Webster's. It's free. It's on Google. Webster's 1828. You will find biblical definitions, okay? Okay. A disciple is a learner who submits to discipline, or one who becomes a disciplined learner. And point number 3 is important, because Webster's take on the biblical meaning of disciple is an adherent, as someone who follows closely to the doctrine or teaching of another person. Hence, the constant attendance of Christ, those people who constantly were with Christ, were called the disciples. And therefore, all Christians are called his disciples as they profess to learn and receive his doctrines and precepts. Okay? Any questions there? Now, I hope we understand this. When you're a Christian, you're a disciple. We don't decide to be a disciple. You are a disciple. Okay? Just like you enroll in a school, you say, well, let me consider whether I want to attend or not. Let me consider whether I want to attend the school or not. The principal will tell you, you are a student of the school. And you will be breaking the law if you don't come to school, okay? And so you go to detention, or they expel you in the end. Well, thank God, in the school of Christ, Christ doesn't expel his disciples. He rebukes them, he chastens them, he disciplines them, but he still loves them, all right? Okay, any questions up to there? Okay, what are some of the characteristics? Okay, we're going to spend a lot of time on some of the characteristics of a disciple of Christ. During the church camp, we kind of get everyone to add, but right now it's just going to be plain teaching of what God has said. All right, let's turn to a few verses. Okay, if I have Brother Joshua, you can turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Okay, and then Jacob, you can turn to, let's all turn to John chapter 6 later, but Matthew 4, 19. The first point is a disciple is a learner. All right, Matthew 4:19. Okay, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you the fishers of men. What does it mean, Jairo? What does follow me and I will make you fishers of men mean? You're making the fishers of men, right? Okay, how do you become a soul winner for Christ? How do you become a soul winner for Christ? What did Jesus say? You need to follow him. Can I just drop that in? Some people are not followers. Some people are not soul winners. You know why? Because if we don't follow Christ, Christ cannot make us into soul winners. Does that make sense? Is it any wonder many Christians today are not active soul winners? You know, it is actually God's clue for a Christian who really want to become like Christ, or a Christian who really want to be a soul winner. You know, we preach hard about being a soul winner and all that, right? Winning people to Christ. But really, the first thing is, are we following Christ first? Because if we don't follow Christ, Christ cannot make us into... You know, the person that will make you into a fisher of men is not Brother Johnny, it's not even the church, it's Christ. But we know we need to follow him first. If you don't have a heart for souls, it's because you haven't followed Christ. Because when you are close to the Master who loves souls, you will love souls. I say that again. If you are close to Christ who loves souls with all his heart, that he gave his life for them, you will love souls. You have to. Because Christ was a soul winner everywhere he went. All right? The first thing is we must be an active learner. But we have to follow Christ. Everything he said, everything he does, You know, one of the things I learned. Do you realize when... I know some people like to eat alone. Eat alone, okay? I learned this many years ago when I was in college, junior college. One of the preachers, because we have chapel, he actually said, if you study the life of Christ when he was eating, Jesus never ate alone. I say that again. Jesus never ate alone. Eating to the Lord Jesus was always an opportunity to interact with someone and teach them. Did you know that? If we follow the pattern of Christ, even our eating habits is always with someone else. We don't want to abstain from people. We want to be with people. Why? To be like Christ, to share the love of Jesus. Now, this is good news for those people who are very sociable, right? But you know what? These are people that, if we just confine... And by the way, Jesus didn't just confine himself to his own disciples, you know. He's always eating with other people so that he can reach out. Now, I'm not saying, well, if you want to pull someone off the street and give him a meal, that's fine. But what I'm saying is that even in the little details, we need to practice what Jesus did. Follow me. And I will make you the fishes of men. And this is so important. To be a soul winner, we must follow Christ first. Okay, we must be an apprentice. And I'll add one more thing. Do you realize, you know, Jesus sent... There were two times that Jesus sent the disciples out for evangelism, right? Remember? Two times, the sending of the 12, Matthew chapter 10, and the sending of the 72. Do you know when did Jesus send them? Jesus was on earth for 3.5 years in his ministry, right? He was on earth for 33.5 years. Jesus sent the disciples out to knock on doors, to win people to cry, to tell people the gospel of the kingdom in the 3rd year of his ministry. The first 2 years was training. And basically what Jesus did was say, disciples, you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They slept with Christ. They heard what he said. They saw what he did. They were scolded by him. All right, they were rebuked. And basically, the disciples had constant interaction with Jesus. So that at the end of the 3 years, he said, now you go. I'm giving you the power. I'm giving you the word. And I'm giving you the instructions you have to do to win people to Christ. And the disciples went out willingly. Okay? And so one of the first characteristic of a disciple of Christ is that he's a learner. He's willing to learn. He does not have an attitude of knowing it all. No one else can teach me. I can tell you, even Hui Chi can teach me. I'm serious. I've learned this, and I hope we all have this learning attitude. We can learn from anyone. We can. Okay? We can learn what to do, and we can learn what not to do. Yes? All right? I've learned a lot. From young and as a teenager, I just dropped it in. As a teenager, I've learned this. I always like to talk to older people. Because in my mind, when I was 17, 17, I know that older people have more experience than me. Isn't that true? Yeah? Okay? Granted, some older people may not have as much experience in terms of their wisdom, but you can still learn from them. Okay? Okay? This, a disciple of Christ is teachable. He is open. He does not have an attitude of knowing it all. To him, growing and learning in Christ is a lifetime thing. He's always learning. There was one message whereby there was this old evangelist who was dying and all that, you know. When he was a hospital bed, when someone visited him, he took his Bible and said, "Hey, you know, I just learned something new today in my devotions." And he was dying at the end of his life, but he was still learning. Let me ask you, what did you learn yesterday in your Bible reading? Did you learn anything in your Bible reading yesterday? Are we learners of Christ? You know, every day we need to learn something about Christ. I see you all looking down. So generally when people look down, means, "Oh, I didn't do my..." Okay. But you know, have that daily time that say, "Lord, I just want to learn from you through my work, through my..." You know, even yesterday, the men had a very lively discussion about the play. You know, it was really exciting. And we still need to, after Brother Robert, sorry, after you did the play, we still had to make a lot of changes. But you know, it was exciting. We were like little children bargaining one another. But it was good. The men was working together. And yeah, there was something, "No, I don't want this one." But it was good. It was good. But you know what I learned? I learned that God is beginning to, you know, we build relationships through project. That's what I learned. And I hope we learn that too. Okay? But a disciple is a learner. All right? Learner. Of course, one thing I must qualify. Please learn the right things. Okay? That's one. The next one, let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Still on the first point, just want to reinforce this learning thing. John chapter 6. Okay? John chapter 6, verse 60. You will find that some of this, Jesus preached a hard message. It was hard. And I'll just read this, and I'll explain to you why it was a hard message to the Jews, okay? John chapter 6, I'll read, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this in John 6:60, said, 'This is a hard saying, who can hear it?'" What Jesus taught them was, if you know John chapter 6, Jesus had just fed the 5,000, okay? And feeding of the 5,000 in a dry and empty desert always reminds the Jews of God feeding them in the wilderness when he dropped manna down from heaven. Okay? So the Jews remembered that. But Jesus told them, "I am the living bread that have come down from heaven. If anyone eat of me, he will have eternal life." Okay? That was what Jesus was teaching them. Then in verse 60, the disciples says, "Hey, this is a hard saying. What do you mean by I eat you?" Then in verse 61, "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it," means the teaching, "he said unto them, 'Does this offend you?'" Does it offend you, those people who are following me? Jesus says that when I say that if you don't eat me, when Jesus says to eat him, it doesn't mean to physically cannibalize him, right? It means to, just as you eat food, it becomes part of you. When you hear the teachings of Christ and you accept it into your life, it becomes part of you. You are what you eat, basically. And when you eat the teachings of Christ, meaning that you learn it, you meditate upon it, it becomes part of your life. And that's what Jesus was referring to. But to them, these people will say, no. What are you talking about? So Jesus says in verse 61, "Does this offend you? Is it a stumbling block to you? Is the preaching of God's word, is the teaching, is the Bible reading you have offend you? That you will actually resist? It goes against the very thinking of your mind." That's what Jesus is referring to here. Verse 62, "What, and if you will see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" You know what he was referring to? What do you think in verse 62 Jesus was referring to? What was he referring to? The resurrection and then the ascension. What if, can you imagine Jesus says, "What if you see me going up into heaven?" At that time, they had no idea, right? And then people say, "Nah, that cannot be." All right, I'll use this again. Remember in 1980s, those who can remember, those with no hair now, remember we were saying what? 30 years from now, you'll probably be able to use a phone that can see your other friend. 20 years ago, people have said, is it possible for us to... even as a teenager, I heard this, I said, "Yeah, if I call, then can the other person actually see me?" That was 20 years ago. I said, nah, this is just science fiction. What's happened today? Today, our handphones, you can see each other. You can Skype. But 20 years ago, it's impossible. Many Christians live in doubt of God's word because they can't see. But a Christian learns whatever Jesus says is, if it's not here, it's going to come to pass. It's true. Does that make sense? And that's why as a Christian, sometimes we struggle with our faith because it doesn't fit our box here. That's where faith comes in. That's where we must just say, "Lord, I can't see it, but if you say it, I'll trust it." A disciple is a learner. A disciple doesn't know anything or doesn't know everything, but what the master teaches him, he will listen. The problem with these disciples in John 6, in verse 63, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, make alive. The flesh profiteth nothing." If we try to understand God's word with our flesh, with what we think, with our comfortable thoughts, with what we think should be, God says, it is not going to make you alive, not going to make you a spiritual person. But it is God's Spirit that quickeneth. When we live by faith, what God says, and we apply ourselves to it by faith, then we will begin to grow. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what Jesus says. If you would hear God's word, it brings life into your heart. Many of us struggle because there are many of our own thinking already. Okay? Then in verse 64, verse 8, but there are some of you, Jesus says, that believe not. You know that's scary because Jesus was referring to who? Who was he talking to in this context? Look at verse 60. Many therefore of his, who was he talking to? Isn't that scary? He was talking to his disciples, but Jesus says he knows that many of them don't believe this. And you know what? Is it possible some of us as Christians, when we walk out from here today, that you know how for myself, and I hope for when we think, do I believe or not? The word believe in the Bible means I believe in something enough to do something about it. Faith in the Bible is always an action word. That's why if you read Hebrews 11, God went through a whole list of people who live by faith, demonstrated by their works. Abraham believed God. When God says to leave, he lived, not knowing where he went. Yes? Noah built the ark when there was no rain. God just said, you do it. Yes? When Joshua went into Jericho, you just march around, say, what? They just did it. And what happened? God performed his miracle. Moses saw him that was invisible. Hebrews 11, 26. And then at the end of all that passage, Paul says, what more shall I say? Faith is always demonstrated by works. When we leave every Sunday, not acting on what we've learned, we have lost it. And that's why my concern, I'm hoping not that we don't leave. Accept the Lord, there's something I need to do about what I've learned. Even if to meditate upon it more, I read through it more. Don't believe what I say. Follow what the Bible says. Listen to what God says, okay? Because a disciple is a learner. Okay, let's move on. Point number two. We are in the characteristic of a disciple. Now we are at Jacob, you read it, right? Now, Ethan, you read already? You haven't read it yet, right? Okay. So for you, it's... here, it's quite a number. Luke 9:23. Let's turn to Jacob, turn to Luke 9:23. But let's all turn to Matthew 6:9-13. Okay, Luke 9:23, Jacob. Okay, so we know that verse. Let's turn to Matthew 6 and verse 9. Fix verse 9. Matthew 6. What am I doing? Verse 9. Verse 9. To 13, okay? That is the Lord's Prayer. Now, you may think it's strange to have this verse, but in verse 9, just read. Okay, let's just listen along as I read. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know the Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer, by the way. This is a disciple's prayer. Okay, the real Lord's Prayer is in John 17. But in this prayer, what is the attitude of this person who is praying this? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Point number two, as a disciple is one who has made a firm commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, putting him first in every aspect of his life. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Lord, everything that I do is thy kingdom, thy will. And then in Luke 9:23, we brought Jacob read this now. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself. A disciple is one who has made a firm commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, putting him first in every aspect of his life. There's one verse there in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put him first in everything. Not your career, not everything that you live for in this life. Put him first. You know, when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you know what it means? Everything pertaining to God's work must come first. That's what Jesus actually means when he said, when you think about your livelihood, when you think about the clothing you need to wear and your food you need to eat, seek ye first my kingdom first. Put everything that I say is important first. Because man shall not live by bread alone. You know what that means? The word bread there has to do with your career, the things that you use to sustain your own life, your satisfaction. Seek ye first. Man shall not live by bread, not by the things of this world, but by what? Every word of God. And that's why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and the things that are right, all the right things that God says to do. And you know what God says? Tell you what, when you do that, I'll take care of you. All these things shall be added unto you. And that's something that, you know, as a Christian, when you follow Christ, the disciples followed Jesus, abandoning everything, your careers, everything. Okay? If God really calls you to do that, then do it. But of course, we have a duty to our families, to work. That's also God's will. But when our career interferes with the kingdom of God, we need to make a decision. All right, it's something for you to think about. But a disciple has made a firm commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, putting him first in every aspect of life. This commitment is not a temporary for a project of the church. It's a lifetime. In other words, for some of you who have been in the military, when you sign on, it means anytime the country needs you, you're there. Yes? Anytime there's a crisis, activate this one, and you're there, you're going. You are always ready. The commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ is a lifetime. It's a lifetime. It's for a lifetime. And that's important. Because sometimes we Christians will have spurts of growth, and we do go through ups and downs, and that's actually quite normal for a modern-day Christian. It wasn't normal for the Christian of yesteryears. They were faithful to the end. Revelation chapter 13, it's 12 verse 11, talking about they loved not their lives unto death. Okay? Any question? A disciple is one who has made a firm commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Have we made that firm commitment to Christ that nothing will move us from following Jesus Christ? Okay? Point number three. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. The disciple is committed to a life of obedience. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. So I try to zip through a bit faster. Right? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Let's read together these two verses. Three, one, two, go. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? In the context of this particular passage, Paul was talking about immorality, because the Corinthian church was involved in all kinds of immoral acts, okay, even after they became Christians, because before they were Christians, they were participating in that, so they thought it was normal. But then Paul says, no, after you become a Christian, your body belongs to God. Your spirit belongs to God. Your soul belongs to God. Did you know when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just save your soul? He redeemed your entire self, body, soul, and spirit. That's why at the resurrection, at the rapture, the grace will open and the bodies will be redeemed and made new again. Because God bought the body as well. Alright, it's a whole package deal. Okay? When you buy the plasma TV, they don't give you the plasma, they give you the what you call it? The thing behind that hooks the, what you call that? The mount, okay, the mount. Okay? They give you the wire, they give you the, I think HDMI cable is an extra one, right? Okay? But then I give you the gift. But God gave us the whole package. When he saved us, he redeemed us, he bought us body, soul, and spirit. Okay? And God, and know what Paul says? Ye are not your own. A disciple recognizes that. You know what this verse means? It means your body doesn't belong to you. In other words, you save it for whatever God's purpose it is. It means your time don't belong to you. Now, I'm telling you this, I'm convicting myself as well, because this is very... Our money don't belong to us. Our houses don't belong to us. Our families don't belong to us. It belongs to God. We are to be good stewards of it, to manage it for God. God says what? A disciple understands that our life is to be a life of obedience to Christ. And everything that God says, we follow. What he says, I always remember Pastor Evangelist Ron Comfort says, as a Christian, where he leads me, I will follow. And what he feeds me, I will swallow. And by the way, God always feeds us the right things, amen? Sometimes it's hard to swallow. But God always gives us the best. As a disciple of Christ, is committed to a life of obedience because we understand our life belongs to him. The next one, a disciple has a daily devotional time and developing of his prayer life. This is practicable because Jesus did it. Let's turn to Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35. I use this all the time, and I hope you remember also in prayer retreats. Mark 1:35. And slowly, probably, you may find Brother Johnny very impractical, but I'm just following what the Bible says. Many Singaporeans tend to do their Bible reading at night. Yes? Many Singaporeans tend to do their Bible reading or prayer at night because you're going to sleep anyway. Because when we close our eyes and we pray, and then we say amen the next morning or something. But you know what the pattern of scripture, Mark 1:35, let's read that together. What was Jesus, our master, what did he do with his own life? In verse 35, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Let me ask you a question. How many of you think that Jesus is not busy? You know how busy Jesus was? I always highlighted this because if you read from verse 28 to verse 34, every single one of those verses was Jesus doing something. Verse 29, they will come out of synagogue, they enter in the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. Verse 30, Simon's wife's mother, who is Simon? Peter, right? Was Peter married? Yes, he had a wife. So he obviously was married. So he cannot be the Pope. Okay, just to give you this, okay? And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. Verse 22, at even when the sun did set, they brought him all that were diseased and they were possessed with devils, and all the city were gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick and of diverse diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak because he knew him. Jesus was very busy, but he made it a priority to get up, to read the Bible and pray, before he did the day's activities. Can I just drop this in? I read a quote once that said, when an orchestra plays music, they tune their instruments first. Yes? They prepare first. Is it any wonder sometimes that Christians fall down in their Christian life in the daytime? Because actually in the morning, they have not started to tune their instruments before God. We have lived a life of a Singaporean culture where we followed the cultural ways. Whereby, okay, yeah, every Christian says, oh, we have to be practical, right? Yeah, we are practical, but no one goes into a symphony orchestra without tuning first the instruments. But many Christians do that. And I don't know whether what I say here, and I hope the Holy Spirit will help us as disciples to follow the pattern of our Savior, to spend time. It's hard. But you know what? Sleep early. Forget Facebook. Forget those extra things that you could have done. Plan your time, because a disciple is a disciplined follower of Christ. There are some things we don't need to do, really, in order that we might tune our instruments on a daily basis. Okay, so there's something. A disciple has a daily devotional time, is developing his prayer life, okay? How was your prayer life last year? How many prayer answers to prayer did you receive last year? How many times did you declare to others, oh, God answered my prayer in this? Not just by coincidence, no, but by specific prayer. This place was an answer to prayer. The van was an answer to prayer. Specific events. How was your prayer life? You know what? We need to be increasing in our prayer life. We need to learn to pray. All right, the next one, let's move on. All right, John chapter 8, verse 31. We'll have maybe Ethan, John 8, 31. Brother Roy, if you can look at Acts 17, 11. Then if I have Sister Maria, you can just turn to Colossians 3, 16. And Brother Ping Kong, 2 Timothy 2, 1, 2 Timothy 2, 15. I think it's first. Okay, in John 8:31, if ye continue in my word, that demonstrates that you are my disciples indeed. Acts 17:11. Okay, they received, they welcomed the word of God with all readiness of mind. Their mind, their heart were ready to receive God's word. And as Paul preached, they were not just, oh yeah, they were okay, Paul said that. God didn't say, oh yeah, God said, Lord help me. Okay, they will receive their word with all readiness of mind. The next one, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell how many? How much? Richly, overflowingly. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15. The point there, a disciple demonstrates faithfulness and a desire to learn and apply the word of God through hearing it preached and taught, reading it frequently, doing Bible study, scripture memory, and meditation of the scriptures. Rajani, very hard. I don't like to read. My eyesight failing. Today when I was helping my wife, I realized I have to do this. How many of you have to do this to do something? You know, there are some people who said, Brother Johnny, my eyes faint. What I did was I printed an A3 size Bible for the person. Another way, you can hear scripture. No, a disciple of Christ will be faithful and have a desire to learn God's word. Because you know what? The early church people, the Christians in the Bible, were soaked in the word of God. The whole entire body has Bible coming out from them everywhere. Huh? The early church, the early Christians, I mentioned before, you know why I am a convicted Baptist? Because those Baptists really knew God's word. And they knew in context, they knew in here. Many of them didn't have their Bibles, but it was all here. And they were able to, when they stood before the inquisitors, people who persecute them for the faith, and ask them a reason for the hope which lieth in them, they were rattling scripture off all the time. There was one Catholic priest whom I was studying the history of the Baptist. You know what he said? It's documented. It's written as document. This priest actually said that guy knew more scripture than the average priest who went to seminary for 4 years. Because every question he had was from the Bible. We need to love God's Word. A disciple of Jesus Christ loved the Word of God. He doesn't just love and do a 20-minute Bible. He will study it. Every time you see him, he will have a Bible with him. I think it was D.L. Moody who challenged someone. You will never find D.L. Moody without his Bible. So one time he was going to bathe. I said, aha, you know, the Bible's not with you. You know what he did? He had a small New Testament under his towel. I think it's crazy. But D.L. Moody was one man who shook two continents for God. He knew the Bible. He had a heart for souls, and God used him mightily. You know what I've learned? I've learned as an evangelist when I was first, you know, when I stood for the first time, when I heard preachers who half the message were Bible verses, I began to realize, you know what? The power is the Word of God. It's not in what I say. You know why we use so much scripture? Because the power is in God's Word, not in what man says. And Christians, can I say, your power as a Christian depends on how much battery power you have. And the battery is the Word of God. How much battery do you have? Is your a AAA 1.5 volt? Or is yours those that booster up aeroplanes that God can use? Or is the big, heavy ones that drive trucks? Or is the Word of God in your life like a small battery you use for TikTok, 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 TikTok? Think about that for a while. Because Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Word of God that brings life. It's the Word of God that has a seed that is planted in your heart, which then takes root and grow. You need God's Word. A disciple demonstrates faithfulness and desire. When a Christian don't have a burden for God's Word, don't have a desire for God's Word, when teaching of God's Word is secondary compared to all the other things, he's being distracted. And that's what Satan wants. If you read Matthew 13, you know what I mean. A disciple will want to learn God's Word, all right, and apply God's Word. Okay, the next one, let's move on. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says what? Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. A disciple has a heart for witnessing, is able to give his testimony clearly, and presents the gospel regularly with increasing skill. This lesson, I didn't come up with it. I was searching, I was looking, and I found that this particular individual who wrote this lesson was very practical about being a disciple. And he, in his experience, believed very much a disciple has a heart for soul winning. Because the heart represents God's heart. And when God sent Jesus Christ into this world, that was his heart. He wanted souls to be saved. A disciple of Christ must love what our Master loved. Must. Otherwise, how can we say that we are disciples of Christ? Does it make sense? Christians do something to get the word out to someone. Because a genuine disciple would want to tell someone else about Christ. Okay? Wouldn't you want to share good news with someone else who can also help him? And so a disciple has a heart for witnessing, and this is the next challenge, is able to give his testimony clearly, because we shall be witnesses unto him. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Do you know that? To share the gospel. You just have to say what happened to you. You read what Paul did. When Paul was before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, what did he do? All he did was, King Agrippa, let me tell you what happened to me. I was wanting to kill all the disciples. And one afternoon, I went at midday, this sunshine in my eyes, and I heard this voice. And then after that, I realized it was the Lord Jesus. And then after that, God gave me the desire to win the people. And right now, I'm standing before you. You know what in Acts chapter 9, God told Ananias, I will make Paul stand before kings. In Acts 26, that was what happened. But all Paul did was tell his testimony. Do you know that you don't need to know a lot of Bible? You should. But if you read it, but Brother Johnny, I'm a young Christian, don't know much. It's okay, just tell others what happened to you. That's all you need to do. And maybe as an assignment, can I challenge everyone? You don't have to hand it up. Write down your testimony. And by the way, if you have joined this church, you would have your testimony in your computer already. Remember it. Rehearse it. Primary 6 students, Sec 1, rehearse that. Tell your friends, this is what happened to me. That's all you need to do, because you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Of course, the word witnesses in the Bible takes on another meaning, because the word witness comes from the word martyr. In other words, you must be prepared to die for your witness, okay? But the disciple has a heart for witnessing. And sometimes we have chosen on Wednesdays because we believe this is part and parcel of the Great Commission as a church, but individually you need to be doing your own too. Don't take witnessing as, okay, it's Tuesday 8:15 to 9:15. Okay, I've done that. God, I've done my duty to you. Gone back. No. A disciple carries the gospel with him everywhere he goes. Speaks to everyone. Gives something for a disciple of Christ. Okay, the next one very quickly. Hebrews 10:25. I think we all know that. A disciple is a regular attendee of church services where his spiritual needs are met and where he makes contribution to the body of believers. Hebrews 10:25. Let's turn there. Hebrews 10:25. Okay, the Bible says, let's read together. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more, as he see the day approaching. Jeremiah was sharing with me in particular church. He heard a message. And I know what's the title of the message? This pastor is a fundamental Baptist, right? He preached very hard. He says, the title, The Sin of Not Attending Church. Personally, when I read it, I said, wow, well, it's a bit too hard. But if you really study the scriptures, you realize that Paul is not giving a suggestion. He's giving a commandment, an imperative. It's in the imperative mode. I'm not saying that there are no reasons. Sometimes you may not be able to come. That's fine. But what do you do with the times that you can come? That you actually can make time and set it apart for God. A genuine disciple of Christ will want to be always in the presence of God. Yes? That when two or three are gathered in your name, there am I. Yes, that regards prayer. But when God's people come together, a disciple of Jesus Christ would want to be there because the word of God will be preached, prayers will be made, Christians will be encouraged. A disciple of Jesus Christ is a regular attendee of church services where his spiritual needs are met and where he makes contribution to the body of Christ. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. I hope this doesn't offend you, but this is what the Bible says. And you'll find that the New Testament Christians, how often were they in church? Huh? Again, louder? The early church were in church every day. Or rather, they would be in groups of the people gathered together as much as they could in every opportunities they have. Can I say this? To be practical in Singapore, I know to some people it's really hard because you're really trying your best. You're really trying. And I understand that. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bash you on the head on that. But I'm saying this. For those who are fulfilling your duties, work is a duty that you have to fulfill. And I want to be balanced in that because I think sometimes we come across as, wow, yes, there's work, you know. And I know of some of you who actually ask your boss, I need to knock off early because I got something. You know, that's actually, I'm very encouraged by that. Because it shows, God, I want to honor you, but God, you know I have my duty. So I do a balance, ask my boss. Your boss says, no, you got to stay, leave it. We'll just leave it as that because you're fulfilling your duty, okay. And some of you actually says, can I work in the afternoon on Sunday so that I can come to church first? You know, that's a blessing. I have people in our church who wanted to obey God and say and pray. All along, they have been working Sundays, but God, because of their faithfulness, God changed their working times to Mondays and Fridays. Amen? And some of you have even experienced that. But what I'm saying is, what about those times that you could make it to church, but you actually make a plan for something else in that slot that God and the body of Christ have decided, let's meet together to worship the Lord. And you did something else. And that's something that we have to think about. Duties versus our responsibilities to God. A disciple of Christ will always want to put themselves where the meeting of Christ is. I'll just share my own testimony. My principle for myself, as from a young teenager, every time the church doors are open, I will be there. Leg break or not, I'll be there. I've learned that from someone else. And I hope as pastor, I can share with you. Okay? And that's where, you know, if a discipleship group, when we start off, it'll be so encouraging that when new people come, you're always there. And say, hey, these people is always there, and they're always encouraging. A disciple of Christ is a regular attendee of church services. And then in 1 John 1:3, a disciple fellowships regularly with other believers. Okay, I just go through it quickly. In 1 John 1:3, a disciple is also a servant of and is actively engaged in helping others in practical ways. In Acts 6:1-4, okay, let's turn there, right? This talks about deacons. But look at their lives even before they were deacons. Acts 6:1. Acts 6:1-4. Okay? In verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business of serving tables. And the Bible says they chose Stephen in verse 5, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These men were of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. That is the criteria. Do you know what is the membership of the early church at this stage? If I'm not wrong, it's 25,000. It hit 50,000 in Acts chapter 15. Oh, 25,000, they could only find 7 men. Right? The Bible never explicitly said so, but you know, the criteria for deaconship full of the Holy Ghost. And guess what? It was the people who chose them, not the pastor. And the pastor then will actually assess. But the people were the one who, okay, these 7 men put up Okay? A disciple is an active servant. You realize that many of them continue to serve the Lord. And Philip became an evangelist full-time, and you find that many of the others actually continue on to serve the Lord. Okay? So a disciple is a servant and is actively engaged always in helping others. Okay, a disciple honors God with his finances, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 to 2. You can read in your own time. A disciple also practices spirituality. That simply means that in every day of his life, he will always be spiritually minded. Every decision he makes, he will always ask himself, Lord, what do you want? He will always turn to the Bible first. He will always turn to the Bible first. Okay? And then a disciple also demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit in his life. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Jesus is love, we must be loved. Jesus is forgiving, we must be forgiving because we are disciples. Disciples basically follow the Master. Okay? A disciple must be one whose life is characterized by, John 13, 34 and 35, characterized by love. We cannot say we are Christians / aka disciples and hate someone or can't get along with someone or can't forgive someone. We can't. That's inconsistent with the character of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's something for us to work at in 2013. That God, these are the characteristics. Use this kind of like a checklist if you like. As a discipling, as a church that loves Jesus and wants to follow Him, these are some of the characteristics. All right, I'll just give you the last few. A disciple also must be willing, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, 25, to suffer ridicule for your faith. All right, some of you have already gone through that. I remember one time in Sembawang, I think it was Jeremiah and Roy, and these Malay people were really giving a hard time. But you know, just kept going. Okay, and the next one in Luke 14, 26. This is hard. A disciple also must be willing to sever earthly ties. If you're a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, there will be times that God says, do you love me more than your family? And that's something that Jesus mentioned. We must be willing to sever earthly ties. That includes our life. That includes our lives. In Luke 14:26 also, a disciple must also be willing to lay down his life in following Jesus. The idea of sacrificing, that is hard. Every time I look at our missionaries on the field, the difficult things they go through, pain in the whatever, and they don't get access. By the way, they don't get access to real medical care, and yet they just plod on, just kept going. Because you know what? In their hearts, I'm a disciple of Christ. I'll do what my master did. A disciple also must be willing to bear the cross, willing to undergo hardship and trials to follow Christ. Oh, Roger, it's very hard to get up in the morning to read the Bible. A disciple of Christ will do that because I'm following Jesus. Pattern. In John 8:31, disciples also must be willing to continue in His word. In other words, continue means to what? Read the Bible, pray, obey God's word on a daily basis. And finally, let's turn to John 15:8, right? John 15:8. We talked about it, I think, last week. John 15:8. We talked about it on Friday. Well, a strange thing happened. I actually had two messages printed, but another message that was the full copy of the Friday night was missing. And I found it in my Bible. So what I gave was the imitation version. But anyway, I hope God spoke to your heart. Okay, in John 15, verse 8. John 15, verse 8. Since I printed out an earlier version and then I updated it. But yeah. But in John 15, verse 8, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Okay? If you read verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit. Okay? He purges. So number one, in verse 2, he beareth fruit. Jesus then goes on to purge it, that he may bring off more fruit. But then in verse 8, that he may make much fruit. Firstly, you must bear fruit. And then you continue to bear more fruit as Jesus purges you. In verse 8, God is glorified when you bear much fruit. And can I say this? The Bible says that at the end, so shall ye be my disciples. A disciple of Christ bears fruit in this life. And Christian, you know, even in verse 8, it says, herein, this is how, this is the situation, that you will see my Father glorified when you bear fruit, much fruit. And hopefully this will be a checklist for us. You will find that sometimes a lot of what God says goes against what we think. Christians, don't let it offend you. Let it be a challenge. Let it be a checklist. Say, Lord, some of these things, God, I don't think I'm bearing much fruit, but Lord, help me. Help me to do something that will help us. If you need help, look, we're all in the community. We're here to help one another grow, okay? So even as I say this, preach this, teach this, it's not in judgment of anyone. I hope you understand that. But it's exactly what the Bible says here. And I hope we will take it in that light. By God's grace, Ambassador Baptist Church, we'll take 4, 5, 8, 10, 20 years. But you know what? I believe very much God wants us to just be a church of the New Testament. There won't be a church of Christians only, a church of disciples. The people will actively follow Christ from the oldest to the youngest. That every time they gather for meals or lunch, they won't talk about their favorite sport. They will talk about Christ, what they heard. Or that when the youth gather together, it won't be the latest games, but what God has been doing in their lives about ministry, about different things. Brother Johnny, that would be so narrow. I've heard a pastor say, you know what? The Bible is so narrow. You know, as Christians, we need our lives to be patterned after Christ. May we be disciples. All right? This is part one. Next week, we'll continue as to what are some of the things that, as a disciple, we will do. My encouragement, think through, pray through, talk to me, discuss. Because these are some of the things, hopefully, will be a pattern for our church. Because if we can find it in Scripture, it must be found in our lives. If we find it in the Bible, it must be found in our lives. Because if Jesus is a living word, if we have the written word and Jesus is a living word, we must be walking words for the Lord Jesus Christ to demonstrate what he says. In the message, I will highlight this as I go through 2 Corinthians 4. Right? Any questions? One question on disciples and discipleship? Is it heavy? Heavy stuff? Hopefully not heavy. All right. Hopefully we'll all be able to understand this and live. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, Lord, again, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will, as he is the comforter, as he is the one that will walk beside us, Lord, I can just speak your words. It is you who must make the application in the lives of every hearer today. Lord, it is never the word of man or the speech of man that will change the heart, but it's the word of God energized by the Holy Spirit that will make application to the heart. Oh, Father, I pray with this lesson of discipleship. Oh God, in 2013, may we be disciples. Some of us are older in the faith. Help us to see things, Lord, from that perspective of how, as elder Christians, we are to live our lives and to be able to encourage the younger ones to do so. For those who are young men, I pray that, Lord, and young ladies, I pray you will apply that to their lives in their situation and how thy word would help them to be a better disciple where they are, in their families and in their work and in their schools. And Lord, I pray for those teenagers who perhaps are hearing this for the very first time and realize, oh, no. But yet, Lord, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us by saying, I will walk with you if you'll allow me to. And Father, I pray that every teenager will do that. And Father, for the rest of us and for all of us in Ambassador, help us to be followers of Christ. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to the things that you have taught me and as a church, that you help us to be faithful to the things that you have taught us. And then from strength to strength, we will grow. Thank you for what you're going to do. And Father, I pray you make all of us more of a disciple this year. In some area, it could just be a small step of faith. For some, it could be 5 steps. For some, it could be 2. For some, it could just be merely saying, I'm going to read the Bible this year and to find out what my Lord has for me. And I pray, God, you will bless even that effort. I pray for every teenager. May their wills be all surrendered to you, that their life might be a power, a testimony to the saving knowledge of Christ. We thank you. We pray for a time of good fellowship before the service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We come back about 11. All right, we've got about 20 minutes or so.